authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We have never seen anything like this before." So get this. I'm used to walking around, and I can't walk around because you guys won't hear me. So get this. I was in London, and I was there hanging out at a station in England at the time. And I was on a trip down to London, went to London every once in a blue moon. And it sounds kind of funny me saying that. I went to London, you know. I was in London, went there every so often, and I was there for a couple of days just visiting, seeing the sights, you know, seeing Big Ben and seeing all these different sights. And it was in the evening, so there wasn't really many sights, tourist sites or sites open. So I was like, you know, if you guys were here last time I spoke, is that I love movies. So I was like, I'll go see a movie. And so I was like, I went to an area where they had a bunch of movie theaters. And so I was like, I'll go see a movie. And so I went, so I was like riding the tube and I was like waiting for my stop. And they're like, you know, and they blasted over to speak, you know, Leicester Square, you know, but they said in a cool British voice, which I can't do. And so I got off my stop and I walked up the stairs. I remember this. I walked up the stairs, and soon as I get up the stairs, there's like mobs of people. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I'm like a country boy from Piedmont, Missouri, you know, like 2000 town like this. And I'm like, I'm in London, England, like one of the biggest cities in the world. I'm like, what did I just step into? I'm like, is it a riot? Is it like, what's going on? Plus, I'm a military guy, U.S. military guy. I'm like, what did I just walk into? And so I walk up to the stairs, walk up it. I'm looking around, and I'm trying to figure out what is going on. And I'm seeing people, and people's walking by, and some people are holding up signs and whatever, and I'm like, what's going on? So eventually, I'm kind of like making my way, and so finally, I'm like, I ask a couple of people, whatever, and they're like, and finally, what happened was, and I kind of look over, I figured out what happened, then I looked over. I asked a couple of people, and they were like, oh, it's a movie premiere. I'm like, a movie premiere? I'm like, so? It's a movie premiere, whatever. They're like, no, it's a movie premiere where stars come, you know, like Hollywood, you know, movie premiere where stars come and see their movie for the first time. And that's what it was. It was a movie premiere of a Guy Ritchie movie or whatever. And it ended up, it was a big movie premiere. It's where they hold all the big London movie premieres. And at the time is that big movie stars were getting out, going into this big movie theater and all this stuff. And at the time I was looking over and I actually saw like this much of like Brad Pitt walking into the movie theater and all this stuff. Like I had no idea, but the place was stinking packed. I mean, like it was like everywhere. Like I couldn't like walk. I was trying to get to my theater, a simple theater, movie theater, to go see a movie. I think I went and saw Mission Impossible. I don't know what I saw. But like literally, like I was like just trying to get to my movie, you know. And it was just crazy. So like, and I couldn't believe, you know, like how crazy it was. People were taking photos, taking whatever, you know. People actually having cameras back then, you know, like phones wasn't that big. But think about it, like, you know, take it back 2,000 some years about Jesus' time. Just think about how it was back his time. That's how it was then. In this house, they were running, they were chasing, they were trying to get to this house where Jesus was at. They were cramming in. They were probably just shoving into his house. They were like trying to like, you know, there was probably standing room only. They were probably like pushing, shoving. They were probably like, you know, like, standing or sitting or anywhere they could so they could hear Jesus talk so they could listen to Jesus, so they could hear this man that had performed a few miracles before. They could hear about him. But they probably could also wanted to be there so they could probably criticize, because we heard about Jesus, you know. Because it says soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no room even outside the door. I mean, you couldn't even get in the door. So my question is that my first thing is that, are we as a church, are we the center? Are we the main attraction? Are we where people are running to? Are we the place where people are packing it in? Are we following and trying to, individually, are we running to Jesus like that? And two, are we the place where people are running to? And I'm not talking about numbers. I'm not talking about like, oh, we had 1,000 people here and we're now a mega church and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, are we a place where people are running to? Are we running to Jesus ourselves? Are we running to Jesus to sit at his feet and listen to his teaching? Are people running to hear, to friendship, to listen to his teaching? Reminds me of one of my favorite Bible verses. Roxanne helped me find this, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Forgot about that one. It says in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to live a life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Are we stripping everything away? Are we running towards him like these people ran towards his house? Are we trying to pack it in? Are we trying to set it at his feet? And are we like the guys with the stretchers? Are we running after him? That's the question. Point one, are we running after him? Second thing is that as a church, are we teamwork? Is teamwork? It's verse 3. It says, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head, and then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. In his book, Wind and Fire, Bruce Larson tells of a friend of his who lived near Hoyt Park in Madison, Wisconsin, and who happens to be a great bird lover. Inevitably, his yard is filled with all kinds of birds in all seasons. However, squirrels plague his bird feeders. Anybody have that issue? Love the birds, but squirrels, I see more squirrels than birds. Exasperated, he finally bought a pellet gun. Sounds like a good solving there. Grab the pellet gun. Began to shoot the squirrels. 2 and 3 a day, every day, week after week. In spite of this desperate measure, the squirrel population seemed undiminished. One day he was discussing this irksome problem with his colleague at work. His friend said, I solved that problem. I was troubled by squirrels too. But now I trap them. I trap them two or three a day. One used a pellet gun, one used a trap. That's interesting. And now I take them to Hoyt Park and release them. Larson's comments, that's an example of what can happen when we approach all our problems individually and make no sense of the larger picture. So one was trapping them and putting them in his buddy's yard, sounds like. Aren't you glad that these men don't think like these men in the story? This men in the story, in the squirrel story, was only thinking for themselves. One was trapping for the area, putting them in the other area, but the men with the stretcher was thinking for their buddy. Was thinking, grabbing the mat. Four of them was working together, getting the sick guy on the mat, running towards Jesus. They were thinking together. They were thinking of their friend and had faith that their friend would get healed if they could just get him to Jesus. If they could just work as a team, as a unit. If they just had faith as a unit, they could be healed. Aren't you glad we have a church, or we're starting to form as a church that thinks like that? Aren't you glad we're like that? Little caveat here. It's not my notes. Extra. Once again, making it a little longer for you, Roxanne. Is that this morning, I walked in here and got here early because I thought I was going to have to set up communion. I didn't know who sets up communion. I was like, I had no clue who sets up communion. I thought Pastor did it. So I was like, I'm going to have to set up communion. I walked in the door. Communion was already set up. So whoever did it, thank you. Working together as a team. So many other things have been done this week. Four guys on a stretcher, they were thinking as one. Could you imagine in the story, it'd be almost like a comic story, almost like the Three Stooges, almost like Buster Keaton, for those of you who know who Buster Keaton is. If one guy was going one way, one guy was going the other way, one guy was tripping over himself, one guy was whatever. Could you imagine if we as Friendship operate like that? If one of us was going this way, one was going this way, trying to get a person in the community to Jesus. It's not going to work. We at Friendship, we should be known as a church of stretcher bearers, roof destroyers, and take people to Jesus type of church. Let me say that again. We at Friendship should be known as a church. We at Friendship should be known as a church of stretcher bearers, roof destroyers, and take people to Jesus type of church. Whether we have a pastor or not, we don't need somebody filling this pulpit or sitting in that office to be that type of church. We do and can work as a team to lead people to Jesus, to fill these pews, to have classes, to have youth, to have kids, to do all sorts of things. We do and can work together as a team to lead people to Jesus, disciple them, to care for them, to feed them, to watch over them, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Sometimes in order to do that, we must be like these gentlemen and think outside the box. And that's my third point. So we need to think outside the box. The four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. And then they lowered him, the man on his mat, right down in front of Jesus. How many of us have ever done that? How many of us have ever gone to Walmart or Target or to Fairway and said, I can't find a parking spot, so I'm just going to push a car out of the way and make my own parking spot? We don't do that, so that's kind of silly. But these guys were so ambitious, had so much faith, and put themselves out there so much and thought outside the box. They didn't wait outside the house. They didn't wait outside. One of them didn't go in and try to squirm his way inside the house and go, hey, Jesus, my buddy's outside. They busted through the roof of the house so their buddy can get healed. I like how Alan Carr put it in his sermon. He says they dared to be unusual. They were willing to think outside the box. For them, it wasn't business as usual. They were breaking into a roof to get to the man, to Jesus. They also dared to do costly thing. Think about it. They busted into a guy's roof. The guy had eventually, it doesn't say in the Bible, but if you put two and two together, the guy had to end up repairing his roof after this happened. So it was a costly thing for them to do this. And these men were willing to do whatever it took to get this man to the Lord. The same heart needs to be within us, as long as it's biblical. Sometimes as a church, we're going to have to do things that are different and outside the norm to reach families and all generations in this community and the surrounding communities. It might be an event that we've never done before. Might be an event that we might need to restart again. Might be something that's out of our comfort zone. I might need to get up here and sing. No. That's a good way to lose people. No, so it might be out of your comfort zone to serve where you've never served before. But if we want this church to grow across all generations, we need to be like these four gentlemen and think outside the box. Why? Because we have something this community needs, and that's Jesus. We have the answer. See, Jesus. That's the fourth thing. Jesus has the power to forgive sins, to heal. And that's what he needs. That's what the community needs. Jesus told the man to stand up and walk. Told him his sins were forgiven. There's probably people in our mind right now If I did the whole thing of passing out paper and putting down, gave everybody ink pens or whatever, there's probably people that we could probably write down at least one person that we could think of right now that's struggling in some way in our communities. There's people in our communities that are struggling physically and spiritually. If we had somebody walk through this door right now, walk through those doors right now, and was hurting, either sick with the flu, had a gunshot wound, had COVID, had something, we would send them straight to the ER, straight to the hospital. There is people in this community that are hurting spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever, and we have the answer. So why aren't we telling them the answer? If we would tell those people, about their physical ailments like that, why aren't we telling other people about their spiritual ailments? But here's a catch, here's a twist, here's the flip side of the story. Are we ready to be stretcher bearers? Because some of these people that are going to come in might be single moms with kids, might be widows, might be kids with no parents whatsoever. They might just show up. But here's the deal, we have the answer. That's Jesus. Just like in the story, Jesus healed. Jesus forgave. That's what the people need in this community. Last thing, are people going to be amazed by friendship? By friendship. Not because of us, not because of Phyllis, not because of Michelle, not because of me, but because of what God's doing here. It says, and the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked through the stunned onlookers, and they were all amazed and praised God, and exclaiming, we have never seen anything like this before. As 2023 goes on, are people going to be amazed at what is happening at and through friendship? Like I said before, is this church going to be the church that tears off roofs? Is this church going to be the church that picks up stretchers and takes people? Is this church going to think outside the box? Is this church going to do stuff to get people to Jesus of all generations? Because I can tell you right now as an elder or whatever, is that we don't need a pastor to do those things. Because if we think that we do, not saying we don't need a pastor, because we do need a pastor, so pray, then we're just going to be stagnant church. But when 2024 hits, is people going to be amazed at the things that happened at this church in 2023? Well, they say something is different about that church. Or are they going to say something's different about those people? Not in a bad way, but in a good way. I want to check it out. I want to go over there. I want to see what's up. I want to challenge us as a church in 2023 to run towards Jesus. Have them to be center of us individually and as a church. I want us to think outside the box And I want us to let us know, let people know that we have the answer, individually and as a church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for your blood, for your salvation, for your healing, for your that you are the answer. I pray, Lord, for this church. I pray, Lord, for our future pastor. You know who's coming. You know the story. You know the ins and outs. You know the what's going to happen, Lord. I pray, Lord, you prepare this church. But I pray for right now. I pray, Lord, that you just help this church. I pray, Lord, you just help us gel more. I pray, Lord, that you just help us become a church that we're tearing off roofs, Lord. That we're thinking outside the box, Lord. That we're just being bold, Lord, for you. I thank you, Lord, for the people in this congregation, Lord. Thank you, Lord, how they're already stepping up and loving on people and praying for people and helping each other out, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just watch over us today and just be with us. And I just pray, Lord, that you just thank you, Lord, for us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your salvation. I thank you, Lord, that it's about you. It's all about you. We can't do anything at Friendship or with our families or with ourselves without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. You guys are dismissed.